Thank you for staying the night. Take your Bibles this evening and turn to the book of John 21, please. John chapter 21. The title of tonight's message is None of Your Business. That's the title. It's None of Your Business. John 21 tonight. Let's stand for reading of God's Word. I want you to follow along as I read tonight. I'm going to read to you the entire chapter. I know it's 25 verses, but they're not very long. And I want you to see the entire context of this tonight. And I want to deal with tonight the theme of how to faithfully serve God without interruption. John 21, let's begin reading together. You follow along as I read. It says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias. And on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas called Didymus and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee and two other of his disciples. Simon saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They said unto him, we also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? They answered him, no. He said unto them, cast the net on the other side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore the disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, it is the Lord. Now when Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girt his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and he cast himself into the sea, and the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the net with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and fish laid thereon, and bread. Jesus saith unto them, bring of the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153, and for all that were so many, yet was not the net broken. Jesus saith unto them, come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord. Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my lambs. He saith to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? He saith unto him, yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? Peter was grieved because he had said unto him the third time, lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. Jesus saith unto him, feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest. But when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thy hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spake he signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. Then Peter, turning about, seeth the disciple whom Jesus loved following, which also leaned on his breast at supper, and said, Lord, which is he that betrayeth thee? Peter, seeing him, saith to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Jesus saith unto him, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. Then went this saying abroad among the brethren, that the disciples should not die. Yet Jesus said, not unto him, he shall not die. But if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? This is the disciple which testified of other things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. There are also many other things which Jesus did, the which if they should be written every one, I suppose, that even the world itself could not contain the books that should be written. Boy, we don't even begin to even get a glimpse of how great that Jesus Christ is. And to think about that, of all that's been written, we marvel and are amazed. But the Bible says that even if all should be written about Christ, that even the world could not contain the books that could be written about Him. Pretty marvelous statement. Now, Father, we come to you tonight, Lord. I ask you that you would give us great help this evening. And, Lord, I don't want to be tonight in your will. I want, Father, to walk in your spirit, Father, and Lord, walk very carefully, Father, as you'd have me to do, Lord, and honor you and bring forth the message tonight that our people need, Father. I pray that you would help each one to be attentive, to listen. Pray, God, that you'd fill this place with your spirit, with your power, with your help, Father. Lord, may in this day and hour, may we be faithful, Father, without interruption. This we ask tonight in your name. Amen. You may be seated. Again tonight, the theme of tonight's message is how to faithfully serve God without interruption. 2 Corinthians 10:12 says this in the Word of God, "For we dare not make ourselves of the number or compare ourselves with some that commend themselves." Then it says this in the last part of that verse, "But they, measuring themselves by themselves and comparing themselves among themselves, are not wise." Tonight I really believe that the believer often stumbles in his faith, is hindered in his service because he gets in trouble comparing himself by others and with others. We oftentimes look at others and we compare ourselves and see how spiritual that we are or what we're doing is sufficient. And so we make the mistake tonight of comparing our church to other churches, how big they are, what they're doing, how much money they have, how great their preacher is, or how great their people is, and then we put ourselves in some kind of category based upon that comparison. People are guilty of it as well, whether it's in the pew or the pulpit. We look at others and we see what they're doing, and we either count our value of either being of great value or little value based upon what we perceive as their status or their value. And by the way, it is the sin of pride that causes us to base our spirituality and success and value and how we compare up to other people. The Pharisee was like this in the book of Matthew, Luke chapter 18. It was a Pharisee that went to the temple to pray. God said, with himself. And there in that temple, a Pharisee and a publican prayed. And the Pharisee said, "God, I thank thee that I'm not as other men are." He compared himself, his spiritual level, his worth, his value, his success, not on what the Bible said or what God's will was for his life, but on how he compared to other people. In fact, he said, "I'm glad I'm not like this publican is. I tithe and I give all that I possess." And so he was spiritual based upon his own perception of his value compared to others. He was a very proudful man. And of course, the Bible says he went down to his house not justified. And so this evening, as we look at the verse number 21, will be our text tonight. But I want to examine some other verses tonight leading up to our text before we get into this message this evening. And first of all, tonight I want you to see this, that as we look at John chapter 21 and see the disciples after the resurrection of Christ Jesus, after they witnessed him in his glorified body, we find that Peter goes and says, "I'm going fishing." And Peter takes with him not just himself, but six other men, disciples with him to this fishing escapade. And tonight I'm not sure what Peter's mindset was, if he was simply discouraged, if he was going to quit the ministry, go back to fishing, or if he was just simply, the Lord has left us, I'm not sure what to do now, but I know how to fish. With that being said, I find tonight that people are often guilty of returning to the life from which they were called. When in times of distress or frustration, in times of what the unknown, if we're not careful, we're often guilty of going back to the life from which we were called. I want to remind you of the children of Israel when they left Egypt. How many times in their journey did they say, when things got difficult or things got hard, when things became unknown, when they had a sacrifice, how many times did they say, "We wish we were back in the land of Egypt. We wish we had died there rather than in this wilderness on the way to the promised land." And so we find here that after seeing Jesus Christ resurrected in chapter 20, that Peter and six other men go fishing. And again, perhaps Peter was discouraged. Perhaps he simply didn't know what to do, but he knew how to fish. And by the way, he took with him others. I want to encourage you tonight that when you get frustrated or get wounded, When you get out of sorts with God and get to a place where you don't know what to do, and you go back to your previous lifestyle from which you were called from, you'll always take somebody with you. You'll never go by yourself. And so tonight I want to encourage you tonight and caution you tonight, regardless of how old you may be. You say, preacher, I'm just a young person. I'm a young man. I'm a young lady. It don't matter what I do. It matters what you do. People are watching you. People have a ties to you and affection for you. And when you leave the things of God and say, I'm just going to go somewhere else and do something else, you always take somebody with you. But we're prone, if we're not careful, to go back to life from which we are called. We find that as Peter and this six men were fishing, verse number 3 says that they toiled all night long and they caught nothing. They were experts in fishing. They were not amateurs. They were not novice. They had fished all their lives, so they were experts in fishing, but yet they toiled all night long and they caught nothing. Verse number 4, we find that Jesus Christ comes and he's about to repeat a similar miracle that he had accomplished or he had performed in Luke chapter 5. He calls up to them and says, children, have you caught anything tonight? Lord, we have not caught anything at all. And so he tells them, cast the net on the other side of the ship. Very similar circumstances. And in that process, something clicks in John's head and he says, it's the Lord. It's Jesus. And Peter, recognizing Jesus Christ, of course he was there, he was fishing. He was pissing without a shirt on, without a coat on. And he grabs his coat and he gets so excited, he gets overwhelmed. He grabs his coat, jumps into the sea, and swims ashore without his friends. And there he meets Jesus Christ. Now we find here tonight that a great miracle took place, that in this time that they caught 153 fish, and they had to drag that net to the shore. But I want you to know something tonight here, very, very, very important. When Peter gets to the shore, verse 9 says that as soon as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid thereon and bread. Jesus Christ had prepared for them a fire of coals and he had prepared for them fish and bread. I want to remind you that just prior to this in John chapter 18, that Peter himself warmed himself at the world's fire. It was at the fire of the enemy, it was at the fire there in the courtyard that he denied Christ 3 times. He was there to keep himself warm. Peter now, he in this desperation and discouragement, and maybe his lack to know what to do, Peter goes back fishing looking for fish, some substance, some money, some food to eat, but he catches nothing. He comes to the shore and there Christ now has a fire prepared for him, fish, and bread to eat. Tonight I want to tell you that Jesus Christ is able to provide and fulfill all your needs. Peter warmed himself with the fire. He was looking for heat. Peter went fishing. He was looking for fish. He was looking for substance. He was trying to find a purpose for his life. And in doing so, when he leaves God's will, and when he leaves outside of God's will, he toils all night long and catches nothing. And Christ now reminds him in this morning, these morning hours, with this fire of coals and this fish and this bread, Peter, all that you're looking for, all that you need, I can provide for you in my will.
Amen.
Tonight I want to remind you that Christ has what you're looking for. If you go back to the world to find your purpose, to be satisfied with your needs or your wants, sometimes we get our eyes off of Christ Jesus. We think, you know what, if I go back to what I know, if I go back to where I came from, I'll find purpose. I'll find fulfillment. I'll be satisfied with what I used to do in my old life. You can do that, but you'll toil all night long and you'll catch nothing. You will have what you went looking for, but you'll wake up every morning unsatisfied, unfulfilled, without any purpose, discouraged, miserable, lonely, outside of God's will. And Christ says this, all that you need, you can find in my will. You don't have to go back to the world to find your purpose in life, to find satisfaction, to find what you're looking for. Young folks, tonight, I want to encourage you tonight. I know I preach a lot to you tonight. I know I preach a lot to you throughout the month. But I'm just concerned tonight for our young people because I think sometimes we get our eyes off of Jesus Christ, off the Word, off His will. And then somehow if I just leave Old Past Baptist Church, if I just leave going to church and read my Bible, I can go off into the world and I'll be satisfied, I'll have what I want, and my life will be easier and better. The devil wants you to believe that. And you will give yourself looking for that fulfillment and never find it. Never find it. You might find some man that promises you all kinds of things and makes you feel good inside, makes you feel like somehow you're wanted or you're needed. But if that man is not God's man for your life, you will wake up morning after morning not fulfilled, unhappy, unsatisfied. And by the way, you'll miss God's will for your life. Young men tonight, if you get in a hurry, get outside of God's will and marry the wrong person, you'll be miserable the rest of your life. You'll always be wondering, what could I have had if I had stayed in God's will? So God tells Peter in this process, Peter, what you're looking for, I have already for you. And you'll find that in my will. Don't let the devil lie to you and the world deceive you that somehow living for God is too narrow, too straight, and too many rules and too confined, and I can't be happy there. If you'll just get in. See, the reason some of you folks aren't happy because you just don't get in. You stay always on the edge. You always got your eye on the world wondering, well, I wish I could do what they do and have what they have. And you're never happy because you always got one eye on the world and one eye halfway in the church house. And you don't read your Bible. You don't pray. You don't walk with God. You don't go soul winning. You don't knock on doors. You don't pass out tracts. Think, I am miserable because you're trying to live a double life. Trying to find your happiness and a purpose. I was telling God's will. And God's telling Peter, if you'll just get in and follow me, I'll give you all that you ever wanted and needed. The fourth thing tonight I see in our introduction, Jesus Christ now, three times, he now deals with Peter. Aren't you glad for that? What a mess Peter was. Peter, a hothead, quick-tempered, quick to say something he didn't know what he was talking about. Peter now, he has denied Christ three times. He is slow to believe. He now has gone fishing, but Jesus Christ didn't give up on Peter. What great compassion and what great mercy, what great grace. Tonight, regardless of where you're at or what you've done, Jesus Christ has a purpose and a plan for your life. He said, preacher, I've messed up. Peter messed up. And by the way, if you read about Peter, he messed up again and again and again. But God used him because of God's grace. By the way, that's how God uses all of us, by his grace. But we find that Jesus Christ now deals with Peter one-on-one in this situation. And he says to Peter in chapter, verse number 15 and 16 and verse number 17, he asked Peter, do you love me more than these? Do you love me more than these coals of fire? Do you love me more than this fish? Do you love me more than this bread? Peter, of course, responds and says, yeah, Lord, you know that I love you. And he says this three times to Peter, feed my lambs, feed my sheep, and feed my sheep. Okay, verse number 17. See, Christ has a plan for all men, regardless of their past. Of your talent, of your abilities, of your personality, of your home life, where you came from. And you may tonight say, well, preacher, I'm pretty gifted about some things. Or you may say, I'm not very gifted. I'm not very outgoing. I'm not very, I'm not bubbly. I'm just a plain, simple person. God has a plan for your life. He had a plan for Peter's life. Peter's mistakes, Peter's stubbornness, Peter's pride did not cancel out God's will for his life. And God came, and Christ came to Peter and said, Peter, if you love me, then I have a plan for your life. Feed my sheep. And so God has a plan tonight. Listen, God didn't make you by mistake. He didn't make you by accident. Where you grew up was a mistake. Who your parents were was an accident. How your home life is, it wasn't an accident. He was aware of all those things, and yet he has a plan tailored for you. It's tailored. There's not just some blank plan that God says, listen, this is for all of you. But he has a purpose and a plan. And here's why so many folks tonight, I believe, are so unhappy. Because they've not found that plan. They have not found that plan. They have not followed that God's will for their life. So I find that Christ has a plan for your life. I find next that he's calling for you. He says to Peter, verse number 19, he says this, when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. You see, he has a plan, but he also has a calling. He says to Peter, here's my plan, feed my sheep, but then you gotta follow me. You gotta follow me. So tonight, he has a plan for your life, but he also has a calling for your life. Faithfully serving God consists of simply following him by faith. You see, you can't lead or do your own thing or neglect the Lord and follow him. He didn't say, lead me. He said, follow me. He didn't say, neglect me. Put me on a shelf until next Sunday. He said, follow me. He didn't say, rebel against me and kick against the pricks and be stubborn and be woolly. He said, follow me. And so he has a calling, not just for a pastor or for a missionary. He has a calling for every believer, a purpose and a calling. And he says to you and I, follow me. I see this then in our introduction. It is your choice to make. And your choice to follow Jesus Christ is based upon your affections for him. Jesus Christ said this to Peter three times. Peter, do you love me more than these? See, Peter could have, he simply said with his own head, his own knowledge, yeah, Lord, I love you. And how many times do we ourselves repeat those things? Not from our hearts, but from our head, because it's the right answer. The Lord questioned Peter three times because he wanted to get past Peter's head and down into his heart. He wanted Peter to quit lying to himself, be honest with himself and with the Lord. And Peter's choice to follow Christ was simply this: do I love him more than anything else in my life or around me? You see, tonight we find that our lack of submission is a lack of sincere and genuine love for Jesus Christ. Colossians 3:2 says this: set your affection on things above, not on things on the earth. Tonight, I'm not opposed to preaching against sin. I think there are times when a preacher ought to preach against sin and name the sin, by the way. Right. And sometimes, if hang on to your seats tonight, and sometimes if needful, if it's bad enough, name the person in the sin. But when it comes right down to it tonight, if I choose my sin or my apathy over Christ, it's a matter of where is my heart, where's my affections. Yes. Peter went back fishing because his affections at that moment weren't right. Peter denied Christ three times at the devil's fire because his heart was not in the right place. His affections were not placed where they ought to be placed. And so, listen, tonight it becomes easy to follow Christ when our affections are set up on Him. Tonight, if you don't love Christ, I mean really, really love Him. Tonight, if you went around the room and said, do you love Jesus Christ? The answer would be yes, because it's supposed to be yes. We're in church for crying out loud. What answer would it be? We'd all say yes. But the answer tonight really for some of us is couldn't be a hard yes if you're honest tonight. If you look at our actions, you see, loving Christ is not just verbally saying, I love Him. Because true love and true charity is not in word or tongue, but is in deed and in truth. And so our actions speak louder about our love than our words ever will. And so to express our love for Christ, we must not just say, Lord, I love you, but we must follow Him with all our heart and our soul and our mind and our strength. Tonight, if you have a hard time reading your Bible, going through a devotion book once a year is hard for you and it makes you upset and you kick against it and you get mad about it, throw a fit. Tonight I don't question your love, but Christ would. If your wife wrote you a letter, you never read it, Would she take that as, boy, he really loves me? If your husband wrote you a letter and you never read it, would he interpret that as, boy, they must love me a whole bunch? I don't know about you, but when I was courting when my wife and I were dating, if she gave me a letter, I didn't care what was going on, boy, it got read right away. Whether it was a note being passed in class, a letter in the mailbox. Well, that one came in the mailbox before I got back to the house. It was opened up. Tonight, if you have a hard time following Christ and your eyes are bent upon the world or my eyes bent upon the world, listen, by the way, we can't tonight say, yeah, preacher, go get that person. We've all been there. We've all been in a place where our heart's not been in the right place. And we've not expressed love to Christ in deed and in truth. You see, your words don't demonstrate your love for Christ, your actions do. The measure of your love is revealed by how many times, not by, your measure of love is not revealed by how many times you say you love him. Your measure of love is revealed by being faithful and uncompromising in holiness. He said to Peter, follow me. And it gets easy to follow. Listen, there are times when to follow Christ, it is hard, difficult to make that choice. But what makes it easy to say, yes, Lord, I'll follow you, is when we love him, following him becomes easy, becomes natural, becomes this second nature. Why do you follow him? Because I love him. Where am I going to go? I love him. Why is the husbands and wives stay together for so long? Because it's cheaper to keep her. No. That's not funny. It ought to be because you're in love with each other. Tonight I want us as a church to move past just the words, I love you, to the demonstration, Lord, I'll follow you anywhere. And by the way, as the world gets worse, if all you love him is in word, you'll deny him with the devil's fire too. You'll compromise and you'll cave. Many folks this year have, because of a virus, they've caved. They've compromised. You say, preacher, well, they're still saved. It's a question of salvation. But let me ask you, do you think that they're still spiritual as they were before the pandemic came? Now, they very well may be. I'm not the judge tonight. But I know one thing. When you get away from God's word in your prayer life and the assembling yourselves together, walking with him and knocking on doors and soul winning, it's easy for our heart's affection to get turned to the things of the earth. Now, as Peter deals with Jesus Christ, or Jesus Christ deals with Peter, and he gives Peter all these instructions about following him and loving him and providing for him, I'm amazed at Peter's response. To me, that is another humorous statement, another humorous conversation in the Bible. As Jesus Christ reveals to Peter his purpose and his will, Peter's first response to Jesus Christ is this, verse 21, Jesus, what shall this man do? It's almost like Jesus Christ was babysitting a daycare. And not because, I mean, think about it. I mean, these fellas, I mean, they were men, manly men, but they argued among themselves who was the greatest. Who would be the greatest? And now Peter, just like a child would with his parents and when he got in trouble, but what about that man? What shall he do? What about him? It's amazing that when you, as a child, whether it's me as a child or my own children, when they get in trouble, they say, well, what about my brother, my sister? What about what they did? And here's what Peter's reaction is. Lord had just given him a command, an instruction, asked him to follow him. And so now Peter's first response is this, Jesus Christ, what about this man? What shall he do? I mean, he wanted everything to be fair. And by the way, if you're looking for life to be fair, you're never going to find it. This idea that I want everything to be fair and I'm not going to do any more than anybody else, give any more than anybody else, that is a shallow Christianity to live. By the way, you'll not find blessings by living that way, I'm just going to do what they do. So here's the message tonight. Give you four quick points. You ready? Number one, give God ownership of your business. How to faithfully serve God without interruption. Peter's life was interrupted many times because he got his eyes upon others. He got stubborn. He got self-willed. But we'll find this tonight. Give God ownership of your business. Look at verse 21. Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, Lord, what shall this man do? Verse 22 says, Jesus said unto him, if I will. If I will. You see, Christ is not to follow us and be our little butler. Be the guy that just, follow me, Lord, and just bless me all the day long. Whatever I want, God, just happen to give it to me, And Lord, if I'm a little bit tired, give me rest. If I'm a little discouraged, give me encouragement. Lord, just follow me and just be my genie in a bottle. No, he's not following us. We're to follow him. He's the Lord. He's in charge. He's the boss. So the happiest believers are those that give God ownership of their business. Lord, my business is your business. My life is your life. Lord, if you will, this is what I'll do. I'll do this or that. God is not looking how well you can run your own life. God's looking at how well you can follow Him. God's not impressed with your leadership. God's impressed with your followership. God's will is not determined by your own, by your opinion, what you think, how it makes you happy, how it makes you feel. God's not impressed with those things, and that's not determining God's will. God's will, regardless of popular opinion or current culture. And so our attitude ought to be, Lord, my life belongs to you. Your business should be, give God ownership of your business. Whatever it is, give God ownership of it. How often do we go through life and just make plans on our own without thinking, what would God have me to do? Who would God have me to marry? What would God have me to wear? What music would God have me listen to? What books would God have me to read? What friends would God have me to make? What place would God have me to work? See, we think that somehow, as long as I pray a prayer and receive Christ as my Savior and label a Christian, that somehow I've arrived that I can figure these things out on my own. Well, then why then is God's Word a lamp unto our feet, light unto our path, if it was all on our own? Why did God say to Peter, follow, if it was up to Peter, why did God say to Peter, Christ said to Peter, Peter, follow me? Because the Lord knew this, that we needed somebody to follow, to get it right, to get it right. You can do your own thing. You can go your own way and make your own decisions. But if you want to do it right, make God the owner of your business. And by the way, God's will for your life will never go against God's written word. Right. Well, I just feel. Stop it. Stop saying that. And stop, by the way, saying that you prayed about it when it goes against God's word. Well, I prayed about it. Not to God, you didn't. If it's contrary to God's word, you didn't pray to Him about it. You prayed it might to yourself, to your own God. But God's never going to lead you contrary. Listen, God will never leave you to marry an unsaved man. He's not going to lead you to marry an unsaved girl. He's not going to lead you to commit fornication because you love somebody. He's not going against His word. God's not going to cause you, lead you to dishonor your parents. So, well, preacher, I think God's leading me out of the church. What God are you praying to? Well, I think God's leading me to listen to rock music. Not the God of the world, not the God of the heavens leading you to do that. See, that we have come to a place in our life as Christians. And by the way, I know we don't like to hear, tonight we get a little bit stiff. We get frozen up with this kind of preaching. Because it gets in our business. And we think that somehow preachers should just somehow make us feel good about our business. But God wants ownership of your business. This idea that I can just live my life and call myself a Christian, I'm okay, as long as I, you know, come to church every now and then and put a few bucks on the plate, I'm a pretty good Christian. No, give God your business. Make God owner of your business. And listen, if He's in the car and not driving, if He's the co-pilot, He's in the wrong seat. He ought not be the co-pilot, He ought to be the driver. In fact, the best place for you to be is in the trunk somewhere with the lid shut and the door locked. Right. Let God just drive you around. Number two is this. The work of others is none of your business. He says, verse number 21, it says, he said, verse number 22, if I will that he tarry till I come, what is that to thee? Follow thou me. He's saying this, Peter, what John does is none of your business. It's none of your business, Peter. You see, the will of God for others, what they do is not your business. It's not your business. We are so concerned as people about what others do. And here's the reason why. We don't want to do any more, spend any more than anybody else. Why should I come clean the church if nobody else is going to come clean the church? Why should I put money in the Heimel roof bucket? Nobody else is going to put in the roof bucket. Hey, why should I knock on doors? Nobody else can knock on doors. Hey, if nobody else can come to the men's meeting, why should I come to the men's meeting? Why should I give more than anybody else gives? If I'm just doing what everybody else is, I'm okay. What other folks do is none of your business. None of your business. Just because it appears that you're doing something well, then the other person, the next pew, doesn't mean that you are more spiritual than they are. This idea, well, you know what, preacher, I'm pretty good. You know, I come here pretty often. I must be more spiritual than some folks who only come on Sunday morning. You don't know that. No, tonight, don't misunderstand me. I'm excited when folks come on back on Sunday night. Because if I heard my preaching, I wouldn't come back. I'd be like, I'm going to live stream somebody else. The other day, Brother Shane Cloud texted me. He said, in one of the videos, they got 7,000 views. And I'm like, I don't get 70 views on any of my videos. But listen, just because not that somehow we hear every service doesn't mean that we're more spiritual than somebody else. You see, you can't judge that. And by the way, just because it appears that you're not, that others are doing more than you, doesn't mean that you're a failure. You see, God has a plan for you, a will for you, designed just for you with your name on it. It doesn't fit anybody else. It's like a custom-made suit. So tonight, with the work of others as none of your business, he says this, follow me. Now, just because others may not be doing anything for Christ doesn't give you the right or the excuse to do nothing for Christ. Look up here now. Some of you have checked out 25 minutes ago. This idea that somehow, that as long as if the preacher messed up, it's okay for me to mess up. If Brother So-and-so is not doing something, I don't have to do anything. God says, follow me. Follow me. And by the way, I will limit my time around people whose goal is to do as little as possible for Christ. If somebody's goal is, I want to do as little as possible I can for Christ, I would be careful how much time I spent with that person. You see, your carnality and our flesh, if we're not careful, will rob us of heavenly crowns and heavenly rewards. Make the work of Christ, Jesus, your business, but make God the owner of your business. The work of others is none of your business. Number three is this, the sin of others is none of your business. I want to read this to you just quickly. I know it's a little bit late our time, but let me show you a verse here. Look at Matthew chapter number 7, please. Matthew 7. Give God ownership of your business. The work of others is none of your business. Number three, the sin of others is none of your business. Matthew 7, verse number 1, the Bible says this. Judge not that ye be not judged. For with what judgment ye judge, ye shall be judged. And with what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you again. Why beholdest thou the beam, the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Or how wilt thou say to thy brother, let me pull out the mote out of thine eye? Behold, the beam is in thine own eye. Thou hypocrite. Now, I didn't say that. The Lord said that. Thou hypocrite. First cast out the beam out of thine own eye, and then shalt thou see clearly to cast out the mote out of thy brother's eye. America tonight is full of hypocrisy. The very same things that Pelosi and Schumer and all those Democrats want to accuse Trump of, they drip with guilt themselves. By the way, they're not in it for the good of America. They're in it for their pocketbook and their power and their greed. That being said, tonight I have to look at our own self and say, oftentimes we're not careful. The church is full of hypocrisy. Sin is consumed with pride and lust, or running around trying to tell other people about their sin. Tonight I think the church house in general is consumed with the sin of pride. I think tonight that God will judge America because of America's wickedness. God is a God of grace and God is a God of mercy. But God also got a God that says, enough is enough. He destroyed the earth with a flood. He said to Sodom and Gomorrah that sin was grievous, grieved him, and he destroyed it. Israel, over and over again, God gave mercy, but he brought judgment as well. God will judge America for its vileness, its wickedness, its filthy murder, slaying the innocent unborn, promoting of evil and homosexuality and sodomy. But God is repulsed by pride. And if we're not careful as Christian people, it's easy to get a little pride in our heart and say, I'm not like other men are. It's easy for us tonight to point the sins of people like Pelosi and Schumer and the Democrats and the folks that don't come to church and the folks that are backslidden. When in our own life, we are guilty of some of the same things and more. Men guilty of slaughtering the innocent unborn are judging the murder of others. Men guilty of adultery are judging the fornication of others. Men consumed with no compassion and humility are judging the pride in others. Men filled with lust and rebellion judge the carnality of others. It's amazing how sometimes we as Christian people, we come from a past that we're guilty of so much stuff. But yet in our Christian life, we're quick to condemn those around us guilty of the same things or even less than what we were guilty of before we got saved. Or even sometimes after we got saved. I'm not saying tonight that we ought not judge sin. But sometimes the sin of others is none of your business. God didn't call you to be the sin police. God said this, how can you judge other people when there is a mote in your own eye? And so tonight as Christian people and God's people, we need to be careful of our own sin. Our prayer should be, God, reveal the sin in my life. God, get in my business. Reveal my heart. And Lord, where I deceive myself, reveal it even to me. Lord, if there's anything in my life that's unclean or ungodly, reveal that to me. By the way, God will, but He won't reveal my sin to you. He's not going to give you a message for me. And say, by the way, go tell the preacher where he's wrong, or the deacon where he's wrong. I got a message for you. Go by and tell the church member so-and-so what they've done wrong. God doesn't work that way. God's going to work on your life and your heart. Tonight I'm not trying to come across tonight as angry or upset, but I want to warn us tonight that God is repulsed with pride. And the sin of others, oftentimes, is none of your business. But then sometimes that distracts us because inside of us is because we're concerned about, well, what about the other guy, Lord? And by the way, their sin doesn't justify your sin. Number four, and lastly tonight, because some of you have already shut me off, and I understand that at 7 o'clock, and I want to go home too. Number four is this. Now watch this, listen to me tonight. The burdens of others is your business. Now listen to me tonight. Number one, give God ownership of your business. How to serve God with faith without interruptions. Give God ownership of your business. Let God follow Christ. Let Him be the leader in your life. I'm not saying let me be the leader. You never have once in the years I've been here, try to put me between you and Christ. Put Him first. In all that you do, put Him first. Number two, the work of others is none of your business. Number three, the sin of others is none of your business. Number four, the burdens of others is your business. Look at Galatians chapter 6, please. Galatians 6, and we'll just read that verse and we'll go home. Well, I'll make a couple comments, of course. You can't not do that. For those that are already upset because I'm a little bit too long, I want to make a little bit upset before you leave. A little more upset. That's to remember me by Wednesday. You won't forget. But I'm missing my show at 7 o'clock. My show's on. And that's why you're not following Him. You got the wrong fire. Number 2, Galatians 6, 2 says this, bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. Your work is your own. But your work is other people. Now catch what I'm saying tonight. Your work is your own. What Noah does is not my business. It's not determined my will for God's will for my life. I can't say, well, what about Noah? That's none of my business. God's got a plan for him. But my work is my own work, but my work is other people. You see, God didn't save you and put you to work for yourself. And that's where many folks are at. It's just about me, preacher. This is about myself and us four and no more. And this, I'm just going to worry about myself and do my own thing. And I'm going to save the whales and save the spotted owls. And I'm going to do my own thing and make my own money. And I'm just going to, you know, do my own little thing. And I don't want to bother anybody's life. I don't care about them. I don't want to get involved with their life. I don't want to be burdened. I don't want to sacrifice. I don't want to give any of my money. Oh, my money. It's all about my money and me and what makes me happy. I'm not going to get involved that way. Listen, your work's your own, but your work is other people. Name me one time where Christ called somebody to the work that didn't involve other people. Jesus Christ came to do his Father's work, but his work was for you and I. It wasn't just about going to a cross. He went to a cross for your sake and my sake. And when God saved you to do your work, he put other people in your path for a reason. You see, your business is to come alongside of someone else and encourage them in their business. You see, Noah's business is not my business. And if God calls Noah to work on a hog farm and meet a pastor at church, we both better do it. If I leave the ministry and work on a hog farm, I want a God's will. If Noah leaves a hog farm and comes and starts a pastor church, if it's not God's will, he's out of God's will. Amen. So my job is this, to come alongside Noah and say, Noah, I'm a pastor, this is my business. Let me encourage you to be a good hog farmer. Right. You had a little extra money? Buy me a new truck too. Got a nice Ford. Listen, tell you something. None of my boys are in the ministry right now. Does that mean I'm a failure? Some would say it does. You see, my business as a father and as a pastor is to tell Jonas, if God's will for your life is to be a paramedic in the medical field, then go do it the best you possibly can to honor God.
That's right.
Encourage him in his business. Amen. Some would say this, well, your son shouldn't marry Gab because she's half black. If that's God's will for the life, my job as a pastor and a father is to say, let's have the best marriage you can possibly have and serve God. Amen. It's not your business. No matter who it is tonight. You see, we get so mixed up because we want to make people's business our business and their sin our business. No, your business should be God's business, and that is come alongside in your business, encouraging others to do their business.
Amen. That's right.
That's how we can serve God faithfully without interruption. God has a plan for your life just for you. This idea that, well, God's plan is just for preachers and missionaries. No, God's plan is for church members and people in the pew and for engineers and paramedics and fracture workers and computer guys. Listen, that's not my will. That's not God's will for my life. I couldn't be a computer engineer. I couldn't do those things. It would drive me nuts to do those things. I have a hard enough time this pastor in the church of God's coming to pastor. But God has got a plan tonight for you. It's not for you to go run off and catch your own fish and do your own thing. Got a plan just tonight for you. And some of you young folks tonight, if you're not careful, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. God's got a plan for you tonight. Don't let your faith be hindered by watching, comparing yourself with others and being concerned about what about him. Well, what about the pastor? What about him? Well, what about the assistant pastor? What does he do? What about him? What about you? What God's called you to do? So God has a plan tonight for your life. Don't miss it tonight. And don't be hindered by watching others. Tonight, Lord, we come tonight to thank you, Father, for the passage here in John 21. Lord, I can't read that passage without being convicted. Because, Lord, sometimes, Lord, I get sidetracked in my faith and my service by looking at others. Lord, at times, Lord, I feel either successful or an utter failure because of how I compare myself with other preachers. Then I pray tonight you'd help us, Lord. I pray that you'd help us to surrender our affection and our love, Father, to you and make God you the owner of our business. God bless tonight, I pray. Would you use the service tonight to help your people? We ask in your name. As the piano begins to play tonight, let's all stand together. Thank you to come. Would you come? Perhaps tonight you say, preacher, I'm not sure I'm saved. If I died right now, I'd find myself in hell. Because I've not made God the owner of my life, my heart, my affections. I've not been saved. I'm not trusting Christ at all. Tonight Christ came to save you. His will for your life is to save you, to redeem you. He gave his life upon Calvary that you might be born again and get saved and have an everlasting life. Tonight, you need to come. Would you come? Would you come tonight? Tonight, Jesus Christ says, follow me. Follow me. Tonight, can you honestly say, I'm following him. He's the owner of my business. He's my leader. I'm following him. Tonight, the Spirit of God has pricked your heart and say, you know what? You're a little bit far behind. Or you're a little bit ahead. You're not following your leading. You're wandering. Tonight, would you come and say, Lord, help me to follow you. Help me to follow you. Help me to die to myself and surrender and love you like I ought to love you and make you the owner of my business. I've been too wound up in watching other people's business, their sin, their works. I need to make, Lord, you the owner of my business. Tonight, you need to come. Would you come this evening? There's no better life than serving Christ Jesus. You see, what you're looking for in the world, you're never going to find. But if you give it out to Christ, you're going to find that fire of coals, that bread, that fish prepared for you. All that you need, he has for you if you just follow him tonight. Amen. Thank you. If we keep our eyes upon others, our spiritual life will be a yo-yo. Up and down, discouraged, excited. And so if you keep your eyes upon Christ and follow him, you'll enjoy the Christian life and he'll bless you for it. Tonight, faithfulness is not determined or revealed in the results. Faithfulness is revealed in obedience and fellowship. You follow Christ, let him handle the results. He didn't say to Peter, Peter, if you cast that on the side of the boat, I'll give you 153 fish. He just simply said, Peter, follow me, obey my voice, cast it on the other side of the boat, and the results are up to God. Results doesn't mean faithfulness. It's an obedience and following him. So tonight you follow him, let the Lord worry about the results, and he'll bless you and use you, Father, for it tonight. But my heart tonight is this, how to be faithful without interruption. Quit looking at other people. Worrying about other people. Keep your eyes upon Christ. Well, tonight we come to you in closing. Thank you, Father, tonight for your word. And Lord, this message tonight was for me. And Father, there's something that I need, Lord. It's easy for me, Lord, sometimes, Lord, to look at social media, to compare our church to other churches. And Lord, if I'm not careful, I get either excited or I get discouraged. And God, our eyes ought to be upon you and following you, Father. Help us to be here in Dubuque. In our own lives, what we ought to be, Father, and fulfill our will, your will for our lives. Lord, may you be the owner of our business. We ask in your name tonight. Amen.